From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. On the eve of one of the holiest days in Shiite Islam, multiple explosions echoed around Baghdad today. Three were attacks against Shiite mosques. A fourth explosion occurred near a Shiite religious procession. And a fifth blast came near an Iraqi police checkpoint in a Sunni neighborhood. In all, more than 27 people have died.
Happening just before the Ashura holiday and aimed at Shiite targets, it would appear the attacks were intended to increase tensions between the Shiite majority and the Sunni minority. But the Shiite community has not retaliated despite months of similar attacks. To discuss the reasons for this restraint, Anne Garrels joins us now from Baghdad. And to begin with, could you tell us about Ashura? What goes on during this holiday?
Well, Ashura commemorates the death of Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad, in a 7th century battle for leadership of the Islamic world. And his death here in Iraq split the religion between Shia and Sunnis. The Shia mourn his death now with the now famous scenes of men beating themselves with chains. But women also mourn Hussein's death. And here's the sound of a group of women I was with today. There were about 60 of them in a private house. They were led by a female mullah, and they reenacted the death of Hussein and his sons, as well as the defiance of his wife, who dared to tell the caliph then he was a tyrant, and in the end, only justice would prevail. The sobbing is both for the death of Hussein and for the more recent deaths of so many close relatives who were killed under Saddam Hussein. These ceremonies were banned under Saddam, and though now permitted, Shia I met with were still nervous about being too public, lest they draw unwanted attention and attacks.
It's hard to imagine a greater provocation than attacks on this holiest of holidays, yet the Shiite community has shown remarkable restraint. What explains that?
Well, there are several reasons. Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, the leading Shiite cleric, has demanded restraint. Focusing on the elections, which have indeed brought the Shia to power here at last, the U.S. offers the Shia some protection, though not as much as many would like, and Iraqis tend to blame foreigners for inspiring sectarian violence, though there's good evidence to show Iraqis are also involved.
And you were recently in Najaf, Shiite Islam's holiest city. What was the attitude there about the attacks?
I was stunned at the lack of sense of revenge. The Shia in Najaf again and again said, yes, Saddam was a Sunni, but he only supported some Sunni Arabs. They argue most Iraqis suffered under Saddam, though they would argue the Shia suffered the most. They were not interested in revenge, and they don't want a civil war. Most want a country where everyone can live together, albeit with the Shiites now taking a leading role. Most of the leaders are calling for unity in the country.
And as these attacks continue, if the Shia resist the urge to retaliate, do they have other plans for protecting themselves?
Yes, and this is where it's going to get sticky. The platform of the Shiite alliance is to remove Ba'athists from government positions, especially in the security forces. So while you have a call on the one hand for the inclusion of Sunni Arabs in the government, Shiite sermons are pointing out that security forces, especially in Baghdad, recently tortured and killed three Shiites. The clear message being security forces are former Ba'athists. And so just where to draw the line on who was a bad Ba'athist and who simply signed up to get a job is a difficult one. The U.S. initially went along with a pretty dramatic de-Ba'athification program, but it since backed off bringing back Ba'ath Party members into the military who were competent professionals with no blood on their hands. But that's not apparently enough for the Shiites. Interim Prime Minister Alawi is warning the Shiites against a purge. The Sunnis are clearly nervous. This is going to be a very, very loaded issue in the new government.
Anne, thank you.
Thank you.
NPR's Anne Garrels speaking to us from Baghdad.